This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We're going to go to the phones. Did I say Herm Edwards was at 4:15 and he's actually at 4:45? Is that right, Lucas? When's he coming on?
4:45.
Okay,
4:45. I don't know what he said.
That's awkward.
I did know why I said 15 minutes ago. I said he's coming on in a half hour.
Don't do that.
So that was a lie.
Yeah.
So he's coming on in 45 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had a trivia question for us. We could do that in 15 minutes if
sure.
you want. Lucas has been in the lab.
I love it. That'll be fun. Lucas trivia.
Yeah, I'm going to stump the heck out of you guys.
All right. Let's go to Dave in El Cerrito. Hey, Dave, what are you doing?
I'm working.
Yeah, us too. That's crazy.
Yeah, we're all working.
Yeah.
I think it's really, I was speaking to the guys on the morning show at some point, and I was explaining to them that it's a very difficult area to attract free agents because California is very expensive, right? You know, it's 12 to 13% more in your taxes than, say, Florida.
Yeah.
And I think with Brandon, they almost, and that was like a weird thing with Bosa, is being from Palm Beach, you're like, this guy isn't from here, and even politically, he's not really like jiving often with what goes on here. And yet he stayed, you know, if all things are equal, it's not always equal. And with Ayuk, he's from here. So it's imperative that they at least give him maybe even more than someone else would give him because the taxes are in play, but he's comfortable here and probably wants to be here. So keeping players here who are from here is really important to a team from Northern California, more so than it is in a lot of other places just because of the cost of it.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying, and you're right. Brandon, you know, born in Rockland, he's a Pac-12 player, Arizona State, Herm Edwards, 42 minutes. The whole idea that the Niners, therefore, like what you're saying is a catch-all. The Niners don't have to pay everybody more because they're in California. Like, that's just kind of, that's the deal. I mean, you could bring that up in negotiations, but I think it's important to bring this up, which is the players we're talking about here, Dave, were drafted here. They don't know anything else than the 49ers. Nick Bosa doesn't know anything else in the NFL. Brandon Ayuk, even more so, not only doesn't know anything else in the NFL, but he's a wide receiver, which is a complementary position. You got to be very, very careful, I think, in the NFL as a wide receiver about going somewhere else because you could never play with a good quarterback again. That is always a possibility.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it, it better be for the payday of all paydays because your career could completely crater. And I think that's a selling point here. It's one of the reasons why I think TJ just said that Brandon would like to stay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
And also, I think the big selling point for Brandon is the idea about winning because this
yes.
team wins. And Brandon Ayuk clearly is a guy who cares a lot about winning. You can't say that about every player. Some players just want their numbers, their touches, and their money, and then the winning comes further down the list. Brandon Ayuk is a player who plays like a guy who's desperate to go out and win. And what did TJ say to us? He said within days after the Super Bowl, he was back in the lab. He was
yep.
putting in the work to get himself right and get his body ready to go. And, you know, that's something that's pretty rare, especially when you're asked to do what you are in this offense, which is block now and maybe we'll throw you the ball a little bit later.
I'm with you, man. I think he's a special player. And for all the things that we don't necessarily see, fans do this, we'll go, wait a minute, third highest paid player in the a wide receiver in the league. Okay, hang on, I've got my numbers. Did you hear the way TJ spoke about it? It wasn't just numbers. And some of this is obvious. Would Brandon have more catches with more targets? Duh. We all get that. Like, you don't need to sell the 49ers on how good Brandon is. Brandon's really good, but TJ talked about fit. He talked about the kind of guy he is. He's not out partying. You can trust him. He's been here. There is a success story. He will block. There's all these things that we don't think about because we're just sitting here with our fantasy numbers, and we're not thinking about the other items that are of value. There's another one. Oh, go to the draft and pick another receiver, even if you find a talented one. Is he an idiot? Because there are some. There are plenty of 10-cent heads in the world. And Brandon is a guy who's already, I love his story. He's been on a trajectory where he and Kyle Shanahan weren't seeing eye to eye. And I love this about him. He reacted well to that. He took the slap in the face, got better, plowed through it, became a stud. Like, this is as valuable as it gets. I'm not saying he's the most talented receiver in the league, but he's top 10, and he's a guy that's got all those other intangibles, and they're all also already in place right here in Santa Clara. You do not mess with that. You have no idea how many green boxes you need to check in order to find that again if you go out searching for a replacement.
Just find a guy who can run routes, catch the ball, and is a willing blocker.
And be a good dude, and be fit in the locker room.
Right.
And be from Northern California. And
well, I don't know how much that actually matters.
But you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Like, when it fits, like, take
then
care
of it.
And he
must not sit.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I do
trying to think of other rhymes.
That's
real quick.
All right. We'll keep it moving. And you know, I think that the idea of trading him is wild. But then again, you could be tempted by a package or a move up, and there might be a player that you love at the top of your draft board who could be sitting there at five. And if you could trade up to get him, you will be tempted, especially if you're looking at, you know, having to pay Brandon Ayuk more than maybe you want to pay him. And I don't know how much that played into the DeForest Buckner, but Buckner says that was the story, that they didn't offer him anywhere near what he thought he was worth what he ended up getting in Indy.
Correct. And I've sort of, you know, conversations I've had on the 49ers side, they threw their shoulders up. They're just like, come on, man. That's not the number we're talking about here. They felt like it was completely, like they were ready to offer a very, very lucrative deal.
And, to Buckner.
Yes. And Buckner came back with a number where they're just like, this is not workable. Can't do this.
Yeah. And I wonder if there is a gulf that exists in the Brandon Ayuk between his camp and the team. I don't think that the team could honestly go to the table and offer less than Deebo Samuel. And Deebo's making, I think, 23.8
Well, they definitely can't, because, again,
the market goes up, the cap goes up.
And Ridley got 23 a year.
The chains get moved, yeah.
Ridley got 23 a year, and he's not as good. Like, he is unequivocally, unarguably not as good.
Pittman got 23, Michael Pittman Jr. And
also, unarguably not as good. He's good.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about the numbers, and that's
ahead.
Why I was asking TJ. Pittman was fifth in the league in catches.
And how many yards did he have?
109. 1,152.
And how many did Brandon have?
Brandon had 1,342.
Okay, so you give me all those extra catches for Pittman, and he's still 200 yards behind Brandon.
Yep. And he had four TDs to Brandon's seven.
Unarguable. Brandon's better.
Oh, I agree with you, yeah. But I'm just playing devil's advocate, and that's why I asked TJ about the weaponization of the stats. I was, you know, doesn't take a lot to get TJ going, but I was trying to, you know, get under the skin a little bit and mention the catches, and, you know, he immediately came back with targets. How many targets did he have?
How many targets did he have?
And it's true.
He's right.
And his numbers are never going to be top 10, top 20, because the Niners just don't throw the ball that much.
Well, it depends on which number you're looking at, because he's certainly top 10 when it comes to yards.
Yeah, seventh in yards.
And what was he on yards per catch? It's either one or two.
Yards per target, he was number two. So there you go. Yards per reception, number two.
There you go. So, I mean, Brandon.
Receptions per game?
Oh, yeah, number 88.
No, 30, 32.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, no, for my, like, I don't even blink about this. Brandon's phenomenal, and anybody who's doing the whole, well, you can't pay two receivers, and also, you know, the Niners don't value receivers, and boy, we could probably just get a different one in the draft. I think that is just crazy talk.
It's risky. Like, bird in the hand is worth two in the draft.
Just look at anybody. Look at your life. Look at your life. What's working? What do you love? What is easy? What is making sense? If you've got any of those things, good God, hold on to them. Hold on to them with everything you got.
I love my daughter.
Okay, hold on to her. Keep her.
If I could trade my daughter,
yeah,
for a first round baby out there, you know, kick the can down the road.
You know what I mean?
You know how much college is going to be in 16 years?
Oh, dude.
Bro.
It's already over.
Hopefully it's going to be free by then.
I'm going to send my kids out in the world. Just okay, good luck.
You're on your own.
Find a job and a meal. Everything will be fine. College.
That's what Steiny was referring to in the changeover.
Yeah,
talking about FAFSA.
FAFSA.
He's doing that financial aid application for his daughter.
FRISA is what I'm going to need. I need some scholarships up in here. All right. 888-957-9570. We keep talking this out. Herm Edwards in a half hour. And trivia with Lucas. Let's find out what this is all about coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
How often do you still go on X?
Pretty often.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple times, two, three times a day.
I'm trying to figure out how, because we use it, we utilize it.
Right.
I'm not anti, but at the same time, it's getting to be a little tough in there. Are y'all having the same experience that I am? That anytime anybody tweets anything, like I don't even tweet a whole lot. I put a lot of our content out. I love to get involved in conversations there. Like I feel like about a third of our notifications are now like, are you getting this? Like bleep in bio. And it's just spam naked people.
Yeah.
And is this a third of your notifications?
Not quite a third, okay. But it's a good solid quotient.
Maybe 20%?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really go to the mentions very much anymore because
the
majority of the people and the mentions and the replies, it's either bleep me in my bio or it's bleep you. You're an idiot.
I would love to get back to that.
I
would love it when it's actual people being like, you suck. I can't stand your takes. You're a clown. I love that. I would much rather that than bleep in bio.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't want your bleep or your bio. What happened? Is this Elon Musk's fault? It is. I figured. Wow. What happened? Like, I'm not the only one, right?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
The place is overrun by bots. They're all bots. They're not real accounts.
So why? Like, why did it? There were always bots. Why did it suddenly get overrun?
Because they stopped policing the bot accounts.
Got it.
Yeah. So now they just allow the bots to run roughshod over X. Because what's happened since Muskie took over is he stripped a lot of the staff. And so
stripped is the right word.
Thank you.
Apparently half of the accounts have done. Yeah. I'll be stripping at 4:45 while Dibs talks to Herm Edwards. Go ahead.
They took a lot of the personnel away, people who would have policed the site because Muskie Poo doesn't really care about the quality of the site. So many people have gone over to Threads, and darn it, I really want to like Threads, but my feed on Threads is 97% accounts I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
I never followed you. I never added you. I don't know you. I don't want to know you or follow you.
Yeah.
And so
Threads was a concept that I wanted to be. I'm like, okay,
Threads.
We're doing Threads. You're going to take my blue check. We're going to Threads. And I went over to Threads for like 4 days and I'm like, all right, this is a hot mess. I don't like it here.
Back to Twitter.
I'm going back. Right. It's kind of like if Brandon Ayuk leaves to go play for the Steelers. Well, they don't have a quarterback there, Brandon. So, like, you get all hot and excited and go over to the Pittsburgh Threads, but I have a feeling that when you get there, you're not going to like what you see and you want to come back home.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I try. I mean, Twitter, I use it more now as a news feed for me. I don't tweet a lot. I don't, you know, get into a lot of replies. The occasional DM I'll send people who I can only contact on there.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just not, it's not the way it used to be. I just had my Twitterversary, too.
Always, did you? What was it? How many years now?
I think it's
like 14, 15?
15. I think I'm an 09er.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. That's exciting.
Yeah.
You want to know why, and you might have even heard it. Very start of the segment, there was a little extra pause. I'm like, do I want to do this? Because I know where this conversation is going to end. It's going to end in either you or me going, Twitter, just not like it used to be. I'm like, it's my whole goal in life is never sound like that. I don't want to talk about how great things used to be.
This is okay because it's just not
like,
something.
Damn it.
Like, I'm not talking about the price of gas and how it used to be 74 cents when I was a kid.
We used to go to a movie for a nickel.
See, that's the stuff I try to avoid. But talking about social media, it's a shame what's happened to it.
It's different. I do like Instagram. Instagram's fine. I don't mind that it's listening to me. Like, there was a thing that came up the other day where it's like a guy that will take you through exactly what, like, you can go into your phone and make it so that it's not listening to you anymore. There's a bunch of different little options and security things that you can, and he's like taking you through the, and I saw it and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. And then he did all the things and it was like 17 different things. And I'm like, so now this is getting to be a little cumbersome, number one. And number two, I stopped and had a conversation with myself. I'm like, does it bother you that they're listening to you? And I'm like, no, I'm in the business of you listening to me.
Right.
I'm fine. I don't care that the advertisements that come up are things that I'm talking about or thinking about. I actually kind of like that. I don't want you to advertise things that I don't want. I want you to advertise things that I do want.
Right.
So Instagram can go and listen. I don't mind Instagram at all. I think Instagram's doing great.
It's, yeah.
Twitter's having a hard time.
Yeah.
Link in bio.
Facebook for me is a wrap.
Facebook's been dead for a while.
Lovely
Christy will get upset with me. She's like, I did a post. Will you go like it? I'm like, where is it? Facebook?
That's the thing.
You're going to make me go to Facebook and do something on there? I haven't done anything on Facebook in a long
time. That's going to be a no from me, dog.
I would never call her dog. Don't say that to me.
The best thing to do with Facebook is to vet people. Like, I've had some young people reach out to me for advice in the business, and so let's see who we're dealing with. So you do a little Facebook vetting.
Some young people.
Some vetting. And, so that you can always find out that way.
Yep. All right. Anyway.
Anyhow.
That's my social media rant for today.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. We'll go back to the phones in a minute, but Lucas had
Threads
some sort of
to me is like the San Francisco Giants.
What?
I really want to like
just
you.
Just meandering out of the gate?
I'm a Giants fan.
I really want to like you more. And every time I go to you, you somehow disappoint me.
Are the Giants disappointing you this year?
They are.
Yeah, kind of.
It's just...
It's like...
I wanted them to be more exciting.
Well...
I wanted them to be more dynamic.
Right.
I wanted Bob Melvin to be doing a better job.
But I guess the...
I wanted them to hit home runs.
Well, but nobody is. And that's kind of... That's the thing.
We can get into that because I actually discovered a solution and we can...
What is it?
Lowering the mound. And
well, yeah, they've talked about that a lot.
The last time they did it was 1968. Great year. I was born. The reason why they did it is alarmingly similar to why they might now.
Nobody could hit.
Nobody could hit. And one of the stats is entire teams couldn't hit. Seven teams had a batting average of 230 or lower. Right now in Major League Baseball, there are nine teams hitting lower than 230.
And by the way, I think the Giants are not one of them. Is that accurate?
Giants are hitting 247. 247 a robust.
Yeah.
247.
So that's the thing. I talk to Giants fans. They're like, can't hit. I'm like, well, you can hit better than half the league. So
yeah.
That's kind of, I'm with you where I got there, and I'm like, why aren't they more dynamic? And then I started looking around, and I went, oh, nobody is. So this isn't a Giants thing. This is a baseball thing.
Right.
And so that sort of shifted my, I don't know what the emotion is. It's not anger. Disappointment you used, or just sort of like, I'm having the inability to get emotionally connected to the team, and it's kind of like good or bad. I'm not angry. I'm not mad at them. I'm not shaking a finger at them.
Right.
But I'm also just like, I want to get going here. Like, where's the get going? It just feels, and it feels like the whole NL West, like the Rockies are down in the abyss, and then the other four teams, they're all just like, yeah, it feels like a potato sack race. Like, nobody's going anywhere fast.
Or like the baby race when you go to like the Warrior game. It's like the baby race, and you're waiting for one of them to crawl.
Right, the tortoise race.
Totally.
Like, stick them there. They're like, okay, they're going. And they're like, are they? Like, we're just sitting here.
Yeah.
Could somebody do something? And so it's not on the Giants. I do find their lineup to be more interesting. There are people where I'm like, ooh, I want to see him hit. Jung-Hoo Lee's fun. The crowd is chanting his name. Soler's got personality, hits the ball a long way. I know he's only hit four home runs, but like, they've got people. I want to watch Conforto hit. I want to watch Chapman hit. The whole thing feels much more intuitive. Estrada and Wade are capable. Yes, they've got to figure some things out, right field or whatnot. Patrick Bailey's playing great all of a sudden. And I do think the pitching will come around. I'm not pessimistic. It's just there's a bigger thing at play where you're like, what's going on here?
Right,
like,
let's
the
get
whole
it going.
League felt like it started and everyone went,
yeah.
Or just here. And you're like, God, like what in baseball is grabbing your attention? Give me the person or the team or the thing.
I mean, there's not much. The Braves have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And they're a dynamic team to watch.
Shocker, they're good. Okay. Yeah.
And quietly, the plucky little A's have been better than expected.
I mean, but they're 9-14.
Right.
Like, that's not exciting.
The majority of teams in baseball are around 500 when you look at it. You got so many teams that are 12-10, 13-9, 11-11, 12-9, 10-11. So I think it's baseball across the board has kind of just been a little bit blah.
Yeah.
There haven't been that many exciting teams or players. For the Giants, I'll say that Jordan Hicks is the one that, I mean, I cannot
really
wait.
Good. Yeah.
I love watching him pitch because his stuff is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison's been fine. Webb's been a little bit.
Webb's got it going. Harrison feels like every time I watch him, I'm like, it's about to boogie. But not quite yet.
Yeah.
Hicks has been wonderful. Keaton Wynn goes tonight. I think he's been everything you could hope him to be.
Right.
Nothing dynamic, but like solid enough. And then there's the Snell thing. And I was bothered. Like I'll say it. I was sort of bothered by his sound after the Friday night start. Like the final score was 17-1, for God's sakes. And it's not that the press conference does not really matter. That's not what's going to affect the standings. And I'm sure he's bummed. I'm sure he's not loving this. And so the nature of the questions when you're frustrated, especially when you're a great player like he is, are not what you want. It's the same thing we've all dealt with Klay Thompson all year long. He doesn't always sound good in the press conference. Why? Because he's mad. because he's Klay freaking Thompson and things aren't going exactly like he wants them to. And then there's, you know, 12 people standing in front of him going, so what's wrong? Why is this not happening? And I get it. It bugs you. At the same time, it wasn't what he said. It was how he said it. It was so blasé. Like, it felt like, you know, what's the Zootopia scene where the sloths are all at the DMV? That's what it felt like talking to. Anybody ever, Christy and I joke about it all the time. You ever talk to a teenager, especially the boys?
Yeah.
It's just,
No, Dad.
That's all you get. And that's what, hey, Blake, how you feel about the fastball?
Yeah.
What about the slider? I'm like, dude, can we all get going here in some sort of a way? I don't know, man. It just felt like somebody needs to throw something off the wall. And that's why I love that Bob Melvin got thrown out yesterday. A, he was right. And B, like, let's go. Let somebody throw something off of somebody. For energetic reasons, somebody make this feel urgent to me, even though it is early in the year. I don't think it's too early in the year to start being like, you know what? It's time to start demanding something of ourselves. And so when Blake Snell's ERA is 12 and he's like, we'll get there. No, now. Get there now. Or go do this somewhere else. Take a rehab assignment.
Yeah.
Go
do it in Sacramento.
Go do it in San Jose.
Yeah.
Because there are other people that can keep the team in the game a little bit more, and I don't know if these games are going to matter at the end of the year. Got to the end of the Warriors season, and all your little
Right, those early gags.
We'll be fine. Well, actually, you ended up not being the 4 seed. Now you're the 10, and now you went home.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, stop bleeping away games, and let's go.
Especially when you look at not only the NL West, but the entire landscape in the National League, and there are 2 teams, maybe 3 if you count Philadelphia, that look good. Milwaukee looks good. Atlanta's good. Philly's been solid. But other than that, from New York all the way through to St. Louis, you're dealing with about 3 games of separation among 10 teams, including the Dodgers.
The Dodgers are 13-11.
You're 2.5 back. You've been meh the entire year, and yet you're only 2.5 back. So it feels like there's a lot of headway you could make. If Blake Snell was just halfway decent and you could have won a couple of those games, you'd be right there.
Yeah. I mean, he was better. I know that sounds silly in a game that was 17-1.
He was better.
Yeah, like he left before it got really, really crazy.
And thoughts and prayers to Kaiwei Tang. I mean, the poor guy. He's been thrown into some situations that were bad, and he made them worse.
Yeah,
I know he's gone,
but
you talk about a brutal start to a young man's career. He was roughed up in all 3 of those outings, and still, ERA, better than Snell.
That's true. Where is it? His is 9.82.
That's it.
Blake's is 11.57.
Better than Snell.
And Nick Avila is 6.75, and he just got sent down. And Tyler Fitzgerald, who got to finish that game, his ERA is now 13.5.
Not better than Snell.
Just north of Blake Snell.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, see, you probably didn't even know they put a position player.
No, I did.
You did?
I did, and he's pitched a couple times, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's all like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all just whatever. By the way, that's got to be the worst position on a baseball team. The reliever you go to when the game has already been lost. How do you get up for that? I feel for those middle relievers because there's 2 paths in a bullpen. It's the we got a chance to win the game and the we don't got a chance to win the game.
Right.
And we're not going to waste Camilo Duvall or anyone with the last name of Rogers if we're down 8-1. So you go the other path. I'd hate to be that guy. It's like, okay, dude, get fired up. We're down by 7. go. It's like, how am I supposed to get excited about this? You want me to lock in? We're getting our butts kicked right now. Everybody behind me, like the fans are all at the concession stands. The infield's paying half attention. Like, how do you function in that environment?
Brutal. Kaiwei Tang, in the games in which he's pitched, they've lost by 9, 7, 5, and 16. Yeah, 37. This, he's a minus 37.
This game was almost their entire run differential. The Giants this year are minus 21.
Yep.
16 of that was Friday night.
Good call. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, what are we doing?
And they lost by 9 to the Padres right. when Tang made his debut. It's just, outside he's of that, that guy.
They're beating the competition outside of
he
that.
He probably was happy to get sent down. Thank you.
Well, no.
Well, now he gets to go try and be a starter, though, which is what ultimately he's going to try to do.
And make a lot less money.
Yes.
And travel to much worse places in a much
right,
worse
but not be in this spot anymore where I it's know, like, but, you know, you're down 8-0 in the fifth and he's getting up, he's getting loose because he knows.
Nobody ever wants to leave the show. Nobody yeah. wants to leave the show.
True.
Speaking of the show. Lucas would like to join it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, did you have some sort of a thingamabob, Lucas?
Sure. Last got? Note on Blake Snell. Don't worry. He'll get better in July. Just wait till the
great.
Second half.
Great. Great. Yeah, can we defer his salary until then also?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, because at that point, we don't have any other pitchers getting healthy, like Robbie Ray. Finally have him. Would be nice if he was effective in the first half of the year when we really need him.
Well, I'll say this, and I think you agree, Lucas, or maybe you're already there. I like Grandy, you called it predictable when he went out the first game, and I agreed with you. And the second one was a little bit of a bummer because, like, in Tampa, they're like, come on, man, like your old place.
Yep.
And he was getting hit. It wasn't just like I don't have good control. Like, he was getting tanked over the fence. So it was like, oh, that was kind of ugly. And then he came out Friday night, and you're like, okay, this looks a little bit better. Like, you're in the game. And then it completely went off the rails. And he gave all of his shoulder shrugs after the game. And I'm like, and I think I've reached my statute of limitations. In other words, I will officially be annoyed if he comes out and gas cans his next start later on this week. Pittsburgh in town? Or is he going to get one of these Mets games?
I think he gets the Mets game.
Does he get the day game on Wednesday? He might get the day game. I might try to come into work early and go check out him, his first or second inning before I come over here.
Yeah. Because he pitched Friday, so
he is expected to get Wednesday. Yeah.
Saturday, okay. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Snell.
Against Forever Giant, the Maniolator, Sean Mania.
Oh, whoa, okay. When lefties collide.
Two crazy lefties. All right.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I might go check that out.
He gave up 9 hits in 4 2/3.
Who did?
Snell.
On Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
No, it's not so much that he's just effectively wild, like you were saying, his first outing. He's getting touched up now. Getting all touched right. up.
He has a career ERA through the first 3-plus months of the season in the fours. It's not getting much better in May, 4.39.
Yeah.
In June, 4.40.
I would die for 4 right now.
Yeah.
I would love for him to go out there and only give up 4 a game, especially since he's only going to throw 5 innings. That's only 2. Give up 2 runs in 5 innings. I'll take it. I'll take it. All right, what'd you got, Lucas?
Okay. Grant, you have the theme music?
Oh, we got music?
Scat-da-da-da.
You've heard it before.
Scat-da-da-da.
There it is.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I have heard that before.
We pivot our YouTube banner. We're going to talk a little basketball. Okay. You guys ready? A little trivia question.
Let's go.
Probably not. I'm terrible at trivia, but let's go.
There are 11 former Warriors on a playoff roster in this year's playoffs.
Oh, that's fun. Okay.
How many can you name?
All right, can we do this as a team, and do we get like 3 strikes, or how does this work?
Sure. Grandy can't play. He knows the answers.
Wow. All right.
11 former Warriors.
On a playoff roster.
Yeah.
Right now. Okay.
Can I start?
Sure.
D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo okay. Russell would be one. How about... DiVincenzo.
Restaurant quality.
Yeah, DiVincenzo. How many did you say? 11?
11.
Good lord.
There are like 4 or 5 that are 4 or 5 that are pretty easy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Relative.
There's one super obvious one right now.
Well, Kevin Durant.
There you go.
Okay. Kelly Oubre Jr.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
There's
a game going on right now. I'll see. You just pulled DiVincenzo.
No, I didn't. That's behind my head. I didn't even see him.
No, I'm just saying you got that one.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But we got 4 down, 7 to go.
Gosh. Did we get your super obvious one, Grandy? Was the super obvious
Durant.
One Durant?
Katie.
Yeah, Kevin Katie. Durant. Okay. Good.
There is another player.
In this game?
In this game. Actually, there might be 2 more.
Really? We're talking about the Sixers.
Yeah.
The Sixers and Knicks?
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd be really impressed if you get the other 76er.
Good Lord. The other 76er.
We're going to have to move this thing along. It's Jeff Downton Jr., ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have gotten that.
No.
I would not have gotten that at all.
Played four games with the Warriors.
I still don't even know who you're talking about, even though you just said his name.
Jeff Downton Jr.
Yeah.
Legend.
I missed that one. All right, it's your turn. What do you got?
I mean, I don't... jeez. I came up with a couple of tough ones. Oh, what about... Steph's brother-in-law. Is he still in Phoenix? Damian Lee.
Oh, Lee.
Attaboy.
Yeah, he's still a Suns. you gotta hate when the theme music runs out.
How many have we gotten so far?
Five, and he gave us Downton, which is six.
Okay, so there's five more.
Yep.
Is that right?
And you got all the easy ones.
Well, that's no fun. Yeah, Jesus.
You're looking at a Nick, two Cavs, a Buck, and a Nugget.
Really?
Yep.
I was just looking at the Cavs. I don't know anybody on that team who used to play for the Warriors. You said there's two of them?
Yeah, and one of them played last year on the Warriors.
What? Oh, I didn't know he was there. Tot-tot Jerome.
I was going to say Lamb, but I didn't think that he was
playing. Lamb is overseas.
He's a New Zealand breaker.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grandy. I'll take a chuckle. Desperate in here.
I do not
know. I don't know.
I'm looking at the Cavs roster, and I don't know who else you're talking about.
Is PBJ?
Looking at rosters?
Well, you said look at the Cavs.
We're up against the break, so.
Damian Jones? Damian Jones.
The Damian Jones?
Yeah, see, I don't know that, like, you can't. I mean, these guys are, like, buried on the bench.
Three more, including a kleptomaniac.
That's not Jordan Bell.
Close. Ryan Rollins.
Ryan Rollins.
Yeah, Jordan Bell. The program.
Jordan Bell gave candles as a gag gift to Mike Brown, I think.
Did we get the Nugget?
No.
Who is it?
He has two brothers who have played in the NBA.
Holiday.
Natabay.
Which one?
Not Drew.
Exactly.
Oh?
Justin.
Yeah. And one more who actually was a pretty good Warrior when he played.
Keeps on going. Say it.
We got to leave.
Alex Burks.
Oh, Alec Burks. There you go. Yeah, he wasn't bad. All right.
That was actually kind of fun.
That was kind of fun.
Not bad.
You want to? Yeah.
I should have been looking at the YouTube.
We should do more trivia with Lucas. We should do more of that.
They're supposed to be easy to make us look good.
Well, no.
You got the easy ones.
No, I'll freely admit, if we do trivia, I will look bad every day.
Okay.
Yeah. Might be fun.
I'm into it.
Yeah. We're presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. We're going to play to win the game. Coming up next, the great Herm Edwards, Brandon Ayuk's college coach, joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
You play to win the game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, what you want is Brandon Ayuk on the team. That's my take. We started the show off this today, just an impassioned plea that the 49ers figure this out with Brandon Ayuk. I believe that they will. I believe they want him to be here. I believe he wants to be here. And it's only April, so deadlines spur action, and there are no deadlines as of right now, unless, of course, he's on the move before the draft. We shall see. Let's talk to his college coach and someone who knows John Lynch very, very well and is always fun to have on, Herm Edwards, here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Herm, what's going on?
Well, while I was on hold and waiting for you guys to talk to me, Jaden Daniels is FaceTiming me, so I had to tell him, I got to go on this show. I'll get back to you when I get off the show. So,
come on, coach.
Strings are popping in the draft right now.
You got to be kidding me. Can you FaceTime Brandon, too? Like, we'll hold.
He'll be fine. He's you know, this is the part of it that you don't like, but it's what it is in today's world. I think both parties realize they need each other. And it'll get done. It'll be ugly at times, but I think at the end he'll be a 49er.
And when you look at what he brings to the 49ers versus what they would look at to replace him, can any college player be expected to step in and play with the physicality and the determination of Brandon Ayuk within the first year?
Well, I like Harrison, and Marvin Harrison. He's pretty good. He's a talented receiver. There's some talented ones out there now. I mean, this is a good draft. In the first round, there's about three or four big-time wide receivers. But I think Brandon, what he's shown, he fits what they want to do. I mean, this is a guy they invested in. He's come a long way since he got there his rookie year. He's one of the fans' favorite. And the fact that he's a guy that has shown that in big moments he can make plays. And I think Purdy enjoys throwing him the ball. You know, he has the ability to catch the contested throw. You know, he's not afraid to go up and wrestle for balls. He's a long arm guy. He's not tall. You know, he's not 6'4", but he's got long arms. He's got a lot of reach and really good route runner.
Coach, have you talked to him recently?
I've kind of left it alone. You know, I'm just kind of sitting right now, just kind of hearing it all. I've talked to John numerous times about a lot of stuff, but I've kind of left it alone right now. You know, I just think as emotions settle down, as this thing gets going, and then right now, look, the draft is important for everyone, and I think the 49ers understand that, but they know they have to keep their good players, and obviously Brandon is one of those guys.
I know you've left it alone, but it – if he were on the phone with you, what would you say to him right now?
Well, that's personal because he's like one of my sons, right? It's kind of like when I talk to Jaden. You know, people always ask, "What are you talking to Jaden about?" I said, "Well, it's just me and Jaden's conversation." So I would try to be the voice of reason, obviously, and that's all you can do. And then you make your decisions. And I think he has to realize that, you know, he's not a free agent. He has another year on his contract. So it's not like I'm going to free agency. 49ers aren't going to trade him at this point. It doesn't look like it. And I think he wants to be a 49er, and hopefully it gets done.
How difficult is it to convey that message of patience to Brandon? Because you're right, he's not a free agent, but he doesn't want to play underneath that fifth-year option yet. You know, the team and he, it could drag all the way out in the summer. How does he stay focused and stay patient through this arduous process?
Well, there's business in football. And I used to tell players this all the time. I said, look, you know, I said, eventually some of you players are going to be in a situation where at one point you might not agree. That's the business part of football. It's not fun. That's why you have agents. But eventually you get to make the decision. You eventually get to make the decision as a player. Hey, you know what? Okay, that's the final deal. Okay, I'm a football player, right? And that's what you got to realize. There's business in football. Right now it's in the business mode. When you get closer to camp and you start practicing, now you're in the football mode. and that becomes very important to guys that like football. And Brandon Ayuk loves football.
Herm Edwards joining us here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, you know, especially because you just said he's almost like a son to you, I wonder if we go back in time for a second, and when Brandon Ayuk and Kyle Shanahan were, and I don't know if I'm describing it right, but it felt like not quite eye to eye in his second year. Did you talk to him a lot then, and what has sort of been the evolution of that relationship?
Well, I think it's grown, and I think both parties respect each other. And it's just the way that, Kyle expected big things out of him. You know, he's a perfectionist, and he's had a lot of big-time receivers. And, you know, receivers are hard now. I mean, they're along with them DBs. They're hard, boy. They're different, you know. And I just think it's all of a sudden it's come to a point to where both parties realize, you know what, okay, we see what this is when we get things going and how it works. And I think they both respect each other. I think Kyle respected him in the beginning, but it was just Kyle expected certain things from him early. And Brandon, you know, he didn't know how to be a pro. I mean, you know, there's certain things you got to do to learn how to be a pro, and it takes time to do that. And I think he's proven that. He's proven that to this organization, to his teammates, what kind of player he can be, you know, and he has been fantastic to watch.
What exactly does he do that fits the Kyle Shanahan offense so well, Coach?
Well, I think he it's all about space. You know, where is the space in the zone? Are you running away from man? And if you're running away from man, you got to make sure you're not running into double coverage. You know, reading all those things on the run. You know, and because the quarterback in Coach's system, he wants the quarterback to get the ball out. And, when he calls stuff, he's going to set you up, but you got to see it. You got to see what the quarterback sees, because the quarterback at times will throw to an area where you're supposed to be. And I think he's starting to learn that.
Herm Edwards is with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game, as we're getting ready for draft week. I mean, it's interesting to hear you say Jaden Daniels is on the line with you. Like, how many of your ex guys are you talking to as the draft comes?
I talk to a bunch of them. You got one of my ex guys there. DB, you, Lucas, got it from Detroit. He's a 49er all of a sudden.
Yep. Right?
So no, I talk to a bunch of them. These guys are like my sons. They are. I mean, and anytime they got something to say, they can call me a coach. Okay, what we got? And I just try to, I just try to be the voice of reason and just say, look, there's a business part of it that nobody likes, and then there's the football part of it. And just understand, the business part of it is hard. The football part is easy because you love football, but it's the business part sometimes that gets you a little frustrated.
What advice are you giving to Jaden Daniels as he gets ready to go into this draft? He's going to be a high pick now, and so it's not a question of if, it's just a question of where.
Yeah, I think wherever he goes, and I've said numerous times, I said, people are asking, what kind of – who is he? Who is he? And I said, it's real simple. If you watch him play, the guy that I played with for a little bit in Philadelphia, he's Randall Cunningham. When you break him down, he's Randall Cunningham.
Mm.
Randall was 6'4", about 215, 218. He's 6'3", about 212. But he has the same attributes that Randall Cunningham had. He was pretty good last time I checked.
Yes, he was. Hey, what's this week like for a GM? Like, I know you and John talk a lot. Like, what?
Yeah, it's going through, obviously, you're going down your board. You're creating scenarios, obviously, and John and those guys do a great job. They do a great job of drafting, obviously, and picking guys. And you want to make sure all your T's are crossed and all your I's are dotted. And then you're looking at some history of some guys, the injury. The scouts have a lot to say this week. But now you're almost set. It's just a matter of if someone's trying to make a trade, if somebody's trying to come up, someone's trying to go down, whatever they're trying to do, those things are being discussed. But for the most part, a lot of the heavy lifting is done. It's done. I mean, it's like, okay, guys, let's just stack the board, see where we're picking. It's interesting what the 49ers are picking. They need a tackle, obviously, need a corner probably. I don't know how many big-time tackles will be left. There's about 7 or 8 of them that are supposed to go in the first round. I don't know if one drops to them or not. There'll be a corner or two available for them at that pick. Now, never know what they do. They might try to move up. Who knows?
Is the fact that their roster is pretty good, pretty deep, went to the Super Bowl last year, does that make you less aggressive in the first round to maybe try to move up?
No. I think you look at your roster, and you're always trying to better it, right? That's the bottom line. I mean, because you're always looking at not next year, but 3 years down. 3 years down the road, right? You're building your building your football team, and so you say, okay, I got this guy, I got that guy, but and then hey, look, you're always talking about this too. You can't pay them all, right? You can't pay them all. You just can't pay all your good players. And so you got to look at it and go, we might not be able to afford that guy 2 years from now because you get other guys are coming due, and he's probably going to leave. So we maybe need to draft the guy at that position, right? I mean, you're always thinking of the future.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HC1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's an interesting statement, Herm. You can't pay them all. I think this is kind of what the 49ers, at least, feel like they're dealing with Brandon Ayuk, and they've already got another $24 million receiver in the room. But I'm just reading you. You sound very confident that you feel like this is going to get worked out.
I'm hopeful. I really am. And look, I'm not, you know, not saying anything out of school or anything like that. I'm just hopeful. I've been in enough of these and watched them where it always, sometimes it's awful. This and never, and then all of a sudden it gets done. So it's just, we just got to let it play out. This is the business part nobody likes. This is the off season. This is the off season. Nobody likes this part of it, you know? And when you're a player and you see other guys go through it, you kind of chuckle until you got to go through it. And then it's not fun anymore.
Right.
Right? it's all laughable when you're laughing at somebody else. You say, oh, now I got to deal with this madness. Yeah, you got to deal with it, man. Eventually, if you're a good player.
Well, so much of it now, Herm, also ends up on social media. You know, I guess Brandon maybe unfollowed the 49ers last week. And I, like, you tell me, because when you were coaching at ASU, right, I bet you were dealing with that all the time. What's your advice as far as handling that side of it for players?
Well, I always told players this. I said, look, when you get emotional, I said, that's one thing. I get it. And I said this a long time ago when I first started working with ESPN and this stuff all started back in the day. I said, you can type it out on your screen, but don't press send when you're emotional. Just read it. But don't press it. Don't press in, man. Just don't. Get it out of your system. Go ahead and type it in. And then there's got to be a button on that phone that says don't press in. Leave it alone, man.
Oh, that's next to your, you got to put your name on it. Your don't press send has always been one of my favorite terms.
Just don't do it, right? Don't press it. I said, if I'm making a phone, that's the first button I'm putting on there. Don't press in.
The don't press in button.
I like it.
Don't matter. Just don't press that one. Whatever you do, don't press the one that says don't press in. Do not press that button, please.
It has to be like a don't submit button right next to the submit button. I dig it. Hey, Herm, also, the just the draft process, interesting day for it. Zach Wilson goes to the Denver Broncos from the Jets, and we look back at what was supposed to be an epic quarterback draft, and the five first-rounders now are a sum total of Trevor Lawrence, who's good, and four players who have been traded to other teams. Yeah. What does that tell you about the draft evaluation process?
Well, a couple things. First of all, it's a hard position to play. And it's hard in this sense to evaluate those guys because of how the game changes and the type, the volume of defenses they face and the decisions they have to make very quickly, right? To process the information. That's not always the case in college football. Right? It's just not. Now, with that being said, I think this is a hindrance too. Who is your offensive coordinator and what skill set does a quarterback have? And if you don't allow that to mesh with how you want to run your offense, you're going to fail as a quarterback. And then the mental toughness comes in. Mentally, is he tough? Is he a mentally tough guy to go through what young quarterbacks go through? And it's hard. It's the hardest position to play in sports, quarterback. It just is. And there's so much emphasis on it now. And, you know, the surrounding pieces around you. What do you have around the guy? You know, how are you helping the guy, right? I mean, all these things matter. But at the end, if it doesn't get done, then the quarterback's the guy that takes the hit. And they fail, right? And there's a lot of them. Guys, that's the history of the quarterback. Look at it. Go back 10 years. Go back 20 years. There's been a lot of them like this.
Herm, were you and Jaden talking about real estate in Washington, D.C.? Be real. Be real.
No, I told him I got to call him back. I said, I got to call him back. I said, I'm on an important call to San Francisco, so I got to call him back.
All right.
I appreciate the priorities. I mean, that's blown me away.
Yeah,
probably the biggest compliment I've been paid all week.
So he's probably asking about my daughter. She's graduating in about another month or so. So he might be coming to the graduation.
Okay. Nice.
Beautiful, beautiful. But I do have a guy in Washington, D.C. if he needs any help. So you let him know.
I got you.
All right. All right. Thanks, Herm. Great to talk to you.
Appreciate you guys. All right, thank you.
All right, there it is. There it is. I'm put that on my broadcasting resume. He went and hung up on the number two pick in the draft for us.
Yeah.
Look at that.
He's trying to do a video call, and Herm had to send him a voicemail.
Jaden, hold.
Off you go.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.